That's right. How about that little ditty, huh? I was channeling little Mick and Keith on that one. What'd you think of that?
I could see it in your face. I could see it in your lips and your hips. Yeah. You're really honing in on them moves.
I love it. Well, this is part of the fun of doing this Come On Over podcast, is writing these songs every week. But I spent a lot of time this week, as I'm told you were co-host, producer, editor, engineer, little sister, Emily. How you doing this week?
I'm exhausted.
It sounds like it.
I'm exhausted, but I'm great.
But you went out last night, so that's why you're...
I had to.
What do you mean you had to? Nobody ever has to go out unless you're getting married, and then you got to get turned.
Get turned. Well, this was not that, but it was my boyfriend's birthday, so I did have to go out.
The exclusive boyfriend that we exclusively...
Stop.
Revealed here on Come On Over, which nobody knew, not even you, I'm told. You learned it from the podcast.
Yeah, it was freaking front page news. I know everybody in Chicago and otherwise is talking about me not being single anymore. But no, I went to a lovely restaurant, Monteverde, last night.
Oh.
And I believe my big bro might have hooked up me with a little bit of a reservation and a beautiful table. So thank
always got
you.
A guy. So I'm happy to use my power for good.
Yeah. And it was an absolutely perfect meal. Freaking the homemade pasta and the desserts and the...
It is. It's not heavy, but it skews more Italian-American, but like fine Italian dining hybrid, which I love about Chef Sarah Gruenberg and Monteverde, which I think pound for pound is not only one of the best Italian restaurants in the city, but also the most comfortable. Chairs are comfortable.
The chairs were great. And can I tell you, they did amazing as far as cleanliness. The staff was on point. They were so put together, well organized, and they had meatball raviolis.
Meatball ravioli. I saw that on the Instagram feed.
Meatballs in the ravioli. That's incredible.
Brilliant.
It's like, why? How did we never have this before? It's like combining the two things.
Were they tiny meatballs in the ravioli just meatball meat?
Like from SpaghettiOs? Yes,
oh
it was.
God.
No, it was like the meat.
Oh, the worst, right? It was so... way past overcooked SpaghettiOs. Even as a kid, I was like, we did not have it. When we had to have it, or if we were somebody's house or whoever the hell was making us SpaghettiOs, I was instantly like, I was out. I was like, can we throw this in a broiler? I need a little texture.
I don't know, but you don't eat SpaghettiOs if you want pasta. You eat SpaghettiOs if you want SpaghettiOs,
that
you know?
That's so true.
I was like, I want some ketchup-y sauce, and I want it to be really hot, and I want it to make me feel strange inside. And
Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. It really is like very like that. Do you hear that?
Oh, Jeff.
It's so gross. It's the worst. That's why. SpaghettiOs. Hey, listen. I'm not opposed to SpaghettiOs.
No. Do it.
In a sitch.
Like what kind of sitch?
Say I'm traveling across country.
Oh, okay.
And I get stuck in a ditch in the winter in Minnesota.
Ooh.
And all I have is SpaghettiOs and a can opener. I'm living, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Which brings us to our topic this week, which is travel, vacations.
Whoa, great segue, Jeff.
Eating on vacations, which... guess what? We're all in the same boat right now. We can't do it.
No.
You can. There's ways. There's easy ways, but do you want to? So hopefully we can all live vicariously through our experiences and our memories. And we're going to get to all these favorite Morrow stories about some of our less than stellar one-star TripAdvisor travels. We've done it all right?
Yeah.
Not a lot of fancy trips in our upbringing.
Yeah,
but
talk about bootstraps.
Listen, very memorable, very love-filled, exciting, fun trips. But compared to what kind of trips I'm going on to these days I bring Lorenzo on, they're nothing like that.
No.
Thank God. But we had so much fun. We'll get to that in a second.
How was your week this week, Jeff?
I had a very hot week. It's been hovering in the 90s.
Oh, dude.
This
so
whole
warm.
Day. I've been playing a lot of tennis. I don't think people know that about me.
Oh, yeah.
I took it up as an adult about 2 years ago, two summers ago, and I got into it. It's a good workout. It's a way to be outside and not stuck in a gym somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I gained a love of it via playing tennis with my uncles. Which doesn't sound like high-end cardio, because my uncles, I'm 41, you can only imagine.
They're well
how old
into their
my,
70s, yeah.
Exactly, which is a good learning experience, right? It's a good way to dip your toe into the deep end. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Without going full bore into like competitive tennis.
Wait, dip your toe into the deep end, not the shallow end?
No, I only go deep.
You only, okay. All
I've right. never been in a shallow end in my life.
Wow.
I only go to the deep
you
end.
You only go deep. Okay.
And if the pool doesn't have a deep end, I like lay horizontally in it.
On a raft or?
No, in my body.
Oh, in your body, just so you don't touch the bottom?
Well, no, I don't want my body to be exposed.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Stupid.
Hello. Duh. How did I not know that was the reason?
I mean, when's the last time you like splashed around in the shallow end? There's zero coverage.
You know what? Well, when I was in Costa Rica, the pool we had was completely shallow and there was a lot of horseplay.
Got it. Was this an all-inclusive?
No. It was at an Airbnb. We could get to that later.
Oh, I love horseplay. Nothing wrong with a little horseplay once in a while.
Mm-mm. In the pool, my favorite.
But my week was great. I played tennis with the old guys. These are all, you know, older gentlemen from the, you know, Taylor Street neighborhood of Chicago. And a lot of them tend to take off their shirt and they got chains and crucifixes. And
so do you.
Yeah, but I'm not taking off my shirt, Emily.
Are they... Sin camisas?
Sometimes. Mike Matagrano is sin camisas when he gets hot. Ooh. But it's like they only play for like 50 minutes and you in and out. But I've been playing with other people. So I had a good week of playing tennis and I feel good that I got to sweat a little bit and learn a craft. Better myself through sport and athleticism.
Good for you.
Which is not, you know, not inside me.
No.
But I've also had some problems too.
With what?
These damn songs from this podcast.
Dude, me too.
It is like in my head when I go to sleep and in my head when I wake up. Right, and I'm not trying to like fluff my own nut here.
No, but.
You know what I mean? Like it is infectious.
Maybe it's just us two that has these songs in our head nonstop. If I wake up to just the tips again. That's. Like three different versions of Just the Tips.
But now there's like, I don't know, 20 of them,
there's
20
so many.
Something that they just keep cycling through like this just never ending jukebox in my mind that someone keeps pressing the button. And I need to start listening, I think, to normal songs again in music. So that's my charge this week. What are you going to work on this week?
This week, I'm going to try working out again. I haven't worked out in a while because I decided no more running. I'm done. Done with the running. I think a higher power was trying to tell me I just shouldn't do it because right when my ankle, which I rolled, I might have talked about this a few weeks ago, when I rolled that ankle and it felt better like 2-3 weeks later, I was thinking to myself, oh, I'm going to start running again tomorrow. I don't know what happened. Just like walking in my own backyard, I rolled it again like 20 minutes after I had that thought in my head.
You are terribly clumsy. Would you admit that? You have always been very clumsy. Like I have memories of my mom calling Emily down for dinner at night and she'd be up in her room playing with whatever. And you'd hear like this step, you know, like and running down. And then it would eventually be like a pause and then like a boom and a roll and a crash. And she would then get up and it would be like. Like nothing ever happened. While she would fall often, she'd always get back up. So there's the lesson, kids.
Real durable. Yeah. Just pick yourself
super
up.
Super durable.
Super durable.
This one
is
a durability personified.
Totes.
Good. Well, yeah. She's going to get back into working out. I'm going to get back into listening to other music.
Yeah. Good,
these
good
damn
call.
Songs. Not that I'm like listening to them, but I'm making them and it's like a thing.
Yeah. Right? It's just constant in the brain.
Well, I got to shoot this week. We're going to shoot another two episodes of The Kitchen from home. I got to do that. And that's what I'm going to put all my energy to is to making that great.
Yes, as you should.
Fantastic.
What is the best thing that you made this week?
Well, I didn't make it, Emily.
No.
But I am making it.
What?
It is. This has not been released yet, but it will in the next couple weeks.
All right.
It's my signature prime Italian beef that you can order via websites.
Oh.
In a couple days, we ship it to you with Italian sausage. There might be some homemade giardiniera in there too. This is, again, you know, I love a deep tease. This is somewhere in between the deep and the shallow end with that slant that when you start finally being able to stand up in the pool, this is the tease. This
and you
is
can
kind
of like slide down it a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Are you not made of, I mean, stop.
No, I know.
You're buoyant.
I know.
So I tried it right for the first time, this thing we developed with a local manufacturer that can do it safely and beautifully and mass produce it. Right. I mean, homemade recipes are awesome, but trying to get them replicated and I cannot wait for you guys to try this. It is so, so good. And I was like, I'm going to try it, not like it. And then send back my notes. I'm like, boom, signed
really?
Off on
first
it.
Time. One take Tony.
One take Tony.
Oh.
And you know what? Like I was eating it and I couldn't stop eating it. And I'm talking like three cereal bowls of just meat.
Wow.
And then I started putting the giardiniera on it just to see how it felt with that. And I was swollen.
Meat sweat city.
Couldn't take off my jewelry.
Oh, jewelry.
Yep. I couldn't even take off my chain.
Oh, wow.
That's how thick I was.
That's really full of salt. That was
the
best
thing I ate. The worst thing I had, you know what? I had a pretty bad omelet.
Oh, from where?
I made. I don't know. I was on the fly. It was after a workout. You know what I did? I'm going to tell you. It was perfectly executed. I put a ton of mushrooms, which I love, mm-hmm. a little Havarti cheese,
yeah.
and some pickled jalapenos in there. It's like my magic.
Great.
I love mushrooms
great
and pickled
combo.
Jalapenos. I was like, I didn't put enough fat in it. You need fat with the eggs. I don't like them dry eggs just in a nonstick pan. I need a little bit of butter, and I should have gone a little more aggressive with the butter. And I wasn't feeling it.
No.
I should have just had like a couple spoonfuls of peanut butter.
Oh, really?
You live, you learn. But what I did invent
yes.
the next day,
mm-hmm.
which was delicious, I redid it, right? Because we get up and we
dust our stuff off
and we trudge forward. Okay, kids, I made another omelet. This time, plenty of butter. Not yeah. plenty, not a gross amount, but yeah. like a half a tablespoon, a little couple eggs. I did 50-50 eggs to mushroom ratio.
Ooh.
Like a lot of mushroom. Like a little bit of porcini mushrooms.
Do you saute them first before
yeah,
you put them in?
Yeah, get them nice and hard with the butter. And then I add a little more butter than my eggs.
Oh, wow.
And it was like a 50-50. So I'm going to lobby to do that on the kitchen. Because it's just like, right now we're so focused on grilling and outside cooking that maybe in fall. But it was just like so much mushroom flavor. It was very gratifying. And it kind of bulks it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Should we do it?
I think we should do it.
Should we do it?
Hit it.
IGQ&A. Hey, hey, hey.
Is this the one that's like a minute and 30 seconds?
IGQ&A.
I was like, Jeff, you can't have this long.
Stop crying over there.
IGQ&A.
That was an intense experience recording that song. I was in the zone and I was feeling like, you know, Band of Horses type, big giant. You know, like a song you might hear the instrumentals of on like a big budget commercial. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Something like a car, you know, like.
Yeah, going off in the distance and then the sunset.
Yeah. You know what? Listen, they all can't be humdingers. Like that,
no.
I'll tell you much. That song hasn't been in my head all week.
No. Well, it's in our heart.
Amen. What do we got? What's the first one?
Right. The first one, you did a post for your Mac Daddy Maro Boneless Barbecue Rib Burger.
Ooh.
That is a mouthful. A lot of words. Anyway, at So Love Monkey asks, what sauce is your favorite? You kept the bottle turned on the show, but can you share the name here?
I forget which one I used. I don't know, like a local brand. I got at Whole Foods or something. I always go to like the local folks or whatever, local favorites. I'm particular about barbecue sauce. First of all, what we do is not display the labels on our show because the network doesn't like it. And it's
free
if you didn't know,
placement.
That's free product placement and we make our money via advertising. So people are like, oh my God, I can't believe they, you know, people
yeah.
get up in arms about it. But unfortunately, that's how you sustain a production budget is with advertising dollars. It goes for any type of television program, scripted, non-scripted, or movie, right? I mean, well, movies maybe, you know.
No, not movies.
But they get additional budgets through product placement. So I think that one was called Charboys.
Charboys?
Yeah, it was really good.
What other barbecue sauces do you use on the regular?
I like Lily Q's from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. I do like Uncle Dougie's.
Uncle Dougie's.
Those two are the ones I use the most.
Yeah, I'm a Sweet Baby Ray's gal.
Of course you are. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, because I'm so damn basic.
$1.99. High fructose corn
hey,
syrups.
You know what? I like to feel the fructose. So the next one is from at Sandy Tap Wasson. I'm sorry.
No, you did it.
No, it's at Cindy Tap Wasson. Sorry.
No.
I can't read today. She asks, can you please share the homemade BBQ rub? Could not find on the Food Network site. The
Ooh.
Reason why I posted that is because like 14 people on your Instagram were like, where's the rub?
So
I'm helping out all these people.
Someone dropped the ball on the production end.
Yeah,
and
so
did
someone
not
did.
Link
so
it
I'm
up.
Filling in because I'm a freaking producer.
Hey.
Hire me, people.
All right. So we're going to find it on comeonover.com in
yeah.
the show notes for this. You will find my rub, which will soon be available for you to purchase.
Ooh. There we go. Okay, the next Instagram post we got some questions about. Little Lorenzo was getting ready to shoot the kitchen. He's like holding the iPhone with the gimbal and it's like mid-face down atop
yep.
the counter of your outdoor kitchen. Annette Esma asks, do you record off an iPhone or digital camera? I've always wondered what type of camera is used to film, especially now in these COVID days. You know, I'm sure a bunch of people are wondering how you do it.
We shoot exclusively on iPhones, the pros, you know, like, which is like, I think the top tier iPhone available now with the little three lenses in front, which I think take beautiful video and photos. But most of them you've seen at this point, or at least the last four episodes, have been shot on Samsung Galaxies. It's been different every time, but I'm happy we're on iPhones because we're shot on iPhones and our mics are the AirPods. And that's perfect. It now. At the beginning of this, it was so many. It was our phones. They sent us iPhones to use because mine was like old and running out of batteries and we had to keep recharging it. It was like such a mess. And then they sent the Samsungs but wouldn't sync with the mics well. So we have gone through so many iterations of production equipment and cameras and mics, and now it is like so streamlined and simple. And I think a lot of people are feeling in the television shot at home realm are probably simplifying, but there's some good content out there, but we're learning a lot every week, as is the production. So
as we are on this podcast,
holy shite,
I'm right, you and I troubleshooting technology.
Yeah, and I call up the mainframe computer.
Another question we got is from @richman5135.
Baby,
he asks, are those your legs or are you riding a chicken?
Uh-huh.
I put that in there because just so many levels, because they're your son's legs.
Oh, that was on his post?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's cold, Rich.
I know.
Rich, man, listen, you can make fun of my legs all the time because I call them out all the time. And I do have chicken legs, but I'm glad he's got chicken legs.
No, it's good. You don't want like big, like T-bone gams. Hey, I know because I got them. I got some.
So you got some stumps.
I do have some stumps.
You got some sequoias.
Else on the Instagram also thought that those were your legs too. And I'm like, isn't that obviously a child? I encourage everyone, it's going to be in the show notes as our IG Q&A posts always are, but take a look at it. It's really strange. And this Rich Man 5135 kind of freaks me out a little bit. Not going to lie.
Don't alienate my fans.
I'm not. I'm just.
Stop it. He's
I'm
a lovely man.
I'm just questioning him. Maybe he could write it.
Rich Man 5135, you're canceled.
You don't need to cancel him. Just, you know, he could keep on going on doing what he does.
Should we get to today's topic?
I think we should.
Travel, Holiday Road. Cue in that song.
Okay.
Can we afford it, Holiday Road?
I don't think it matters for podcasts. I'll have to research. This is what happens. He wants to do something and then we have to research it.
Because that's by Lindsey Buckingham, you know, Holiday Road.
Oh, yeah. I forget
classic.
About that.
And you know, he ain't cheap.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. When we discussed why we want to talk about travel, for me, it's like, I still love getting on the computer, going on kayak, seeing how many points I have for United. I did it before, but actually got on planes. Now you can't. For me, it's like I'm not stopped, you know, thinking about where I'm going to go next or where I've been. And it was an integral part of my life for the last 10 years was traveling constantly, getting on a plane every week without fail to go make a buck. And then when I need a break from getting on a plane to make a buck, I get on a plane to go somewhere and chill out. So we can't do that. So let's talk about those times.
Yeah.
Starting with our childhood, Emily.
Yes.
That's something I haven't really talked about a lot on the televisions.
What?
Was like our actual road trips and our vacations as kids. And mainly, I would say, I'm sure you would agree with me, that our probably most memorable trips were when we would pack up the minivan, which was a Dodge Caravan with wood paneling minivan, right? Fake wood paneling. I'm sure you all know what maybe we should put a picture of it in the
Dodge
show notes.
Dodge Caravan, okay.
It was hot. I think it was an 86. Tight ride, right?
Yep.
Just a pumping V6 engine, get the kids where they needed to go. But when it's time for a road trip,
take the seats out.
Big Gus would take the middle bench seat out and leave the rear bench seat out. This was pre-captain's chairs middle seats.
Yeah.
So it would leave this void. What do you fill the void with, Emily?
I think a 3-inch mattress that's slightly stained.
No, first of all, you're wrong on two things. One 1.5-inch mattress that was very stained. With what? I don't know. But that was our basement mattress.
I know.
For like sleepovers, kids would sleep on it.
It was always there. I was like, when did mom and dad throw it out? That's my question.
It's still with them, I'm sure. They call it the air mattress, I'm sure. And it is anything but an air mattress. It's a gross, gooey, stained mattress that was on countless road trips. And we'd put that mattress in. We would leave it like in the afternoon. And my dad knew he had a 16 to 17 hour drive ahead of him to the Jersey Shore, which is not a common destination for Chicagoans or Midwesterners, right?
Yeah.
That's where everybody in Philly or on the East Coast, they go to the Jersey Shore. We would go to Sea Isle City, where our cousins had a condo, right? Our Aunt Pat and Richie.
From Scranton.
Wilkes-Barre, Scranton. Shout out. And we would go there. And it was, to us, a wonderland.
Oh, yeah.
And the beauty of the Jersey Shore, something we couldn't get, was A, the ocean and waves. So we'd boogie board. You know, we love catching waves tomorrow. Oh, yeah,
totally.
The most unbodied surfers that love surfing in any capacity.
Dude,
we
love body surfing.
Duck to a water.
Dude, totally.
Did it.
Mm-hmm.
Like moths to a flame, like shits to a giggle, right?
Morrows to body surfing. We are winners of the body surfing regional
competition. One day.
Yeah, we'll get
intramural body surfing, but also coupled with the boardwalk, ski ball, video games,
funnel cakes,
pizza slices, unlimited. And then you'd walk right back to the condo. And you go have dinner. It was the best.
It was the best.
But you know what was better than the destination? And this is, you know, this is an old saying. It was the journey.
The journey.
Emily.
I have a distinct memory of Frank on the mattress, on his tum-tums, eating chicken wing.
Where the chicken wing came from, we don't know. But that was a appropriate road snack in the Morrow house.
They do, you know, travel well. Let's
do
be
they,
real.
Do they travel well, though? Did our parents need another way to stain the mattress? You know, he wasn't using like wet naps or a bib. Oh, he was wiping it back onto the mattress, staining the stains. That's funny. And I remember like the snacks. We have the cooler in between mom and dad, which was filled with like, you know, fruit that was untouched, Diet Pops.
Always Diet Pops.
And like
Diet Right, probably.
Oh, the best. Only the finest. But it was like so fun. To me, it was like, oh my God, I can't wait for the trip. And obviously the trip back was brutal because you're sad.
Yeah.
Always. But the trip there was so exciting. My dad would drive straight through. We wouldn't stop.
It's an animal.
That's hence the mattress. And I think Frank would usually sleep on the rear bench. And then the three of us, me, you, and Dana, would sleep on the dirty-ass mattress. And we get there, and we'd be so excited we didn't care how the hell we got.
So great to get out of the van.
But I remember, like, distinctly remember, like, Sade being on the radio. And, like,
oh, really?
Dad was like, I was like, why aren't we moving? And he'd be, like, passed out in the seat on the side of a busy highway. And he's just like, I'm like, Dad, you okay? He's like, oh, get some sleep.
He fell asleep while he was driving or was
pulled over?
No,
he pulled over.
Oh, gosh.
Thank God.
Oh, God.
No, he's a pro.
I know. I was like, because I don't remember that.
Yeah, that was like, to me, one of the best memorable trips. Again, bootstrapped on a budget, but a fun and,
so fun
and memories created by my parents with four kids any way they can to get us somewhere else.
Right out of Dodge.
Right out of Dodge. 1 week and we come home and we couldn't wait to do it again the next year. And then there were vacations where maybe we didn't have time to travel far or whatever, so we go somewhere close, like Michigan. And I remember a trip to New Buffalo about an hour 15 up the coast of Lake Michigan.
So quick, so convenient. I have distinct memories of that one at the Comfort Inn.
That's a Four Seasons of New Buffalo, I'm told.
And I think like that year when we went there, it was like during the Olympics, all of us just watching gymnastics.
Yeah.
It was like five of us, because like Frank was like, I'm not doing this shit anymore. And we're all like in one little hotel room after a day of body surfing and boogie boarding in Lake Michigan. Yeah,
which is, boogie boarding is not as possible in Lake Michigan. But I remember that was my first time attempting to skim board.
Oh, I remember.
And I was at least 40 pounds heavier than I am today as a child. This is truth. And I remember trying to like look cool at skimboarding, and it was just like me face first in crunchy sand of Lake Michigan. It was horrible. But all we needed, we went to the beach, we went out to eat, it was fine. Like, we didn't care. Like, we didn't know, like, this was, you know, there's such a thing as luxury. But all we needed was a pool.
Totally.
Indoor, outdoor, it doesn't matter. Or just a well-shaped bathtub in the room. That's all we ever needed. And I think, like, a lot of kids now need, like, more action. You know, like my son, they need, like, a pool with a waterfall and, like, water guns built in and a three-story slide, right? All we needed was, like, a really ill-equipped indoor motel pool, hotel pool.
We're like the Holodome.
Oh, God. We stayed at Holodomes as the family would. All the cousins and aunts and uncles would like take over a Holodome for like 3 days.
Oh, that was fun.
And I could still smell the chlorine permeating through the entire property. The dome itself would trap.
There is a literal dome.
Funny story, when we moved back from Los Angeles, Sarah and I, we loaded up our car, stopped one night in Vegas on a whim, got a $60 hotel room, won $750, said, oh my God, this pays for the whole trip home. Boom. Next day, we stop in Grand Junction, Colorado, where our whole car busted.
Oh.
Ended up being a rack and pinion steering issue, $1,700. Oh, lost God. All the money that we won.
Oh.
And we were stuck in Grand Junction, Colorado
yeah.
for 5 nights. So not only do we have to pay for the car, we have to pay for 5 nights.
Oh, wow.
The only option in Grand Junction.
What?
Holodome.
Holodome.
Empty. Like post-apocalyptic Holodome with like one working arcade machine that was like a Dusty Galaga. And I was like, you know, Sarah, I'm like, you want to go take a dip? You know what I mean? Like, what do you do?
What else is there to do?
There's nothing else to do. Needless to say, she did not take a dip. But shout out to the Holodomes out there. I think it's time to make a comeback.
Yeah, totally.
If Four Seasons had a dome, I would stay there.
Would you?
No.
Just like just around the pool or just, like a play recreation?
A walkout room where you can walk out and you're right at the pool.
Oh.
I love indoor balconies. That's what's missing from a lot of
property. Yeah, they were totally missing
out on
those.
You know the indoor balconies? You're like, you know, like what? Where it's
indoor.
Like levels
that's
and it's
thing?
Like, you know, you walk out and then it's like a balcony right there, but not indoor. You know, it's like a walkway, but it's
I don't
like,
know. I'm going to have to Google this. I'm like an indoor balcony. Doesn't that defeat the purpose? Is that an
it'll be something.
Moron?
It'll
of
be
some
something.
Sort?
You'll see when people catch on to this podcast. But then we did. Let's talk about Maui.
I'll never forget that trip. I could still smell the air.
So I was 16. I just turned 16. My hair was slightly long. I had my first hemp necklace and a fresh copy of Green Day's Duke. In my Discman and Candlebox, which they got both equal play.
Barn burner right there.
Ooh.
Oh, that's so good. Should do a Candlebox.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Of Candlebox.
Oh, baby. In the minute, I treat you, baby. Yeah, that's a good one. I got to get into the 90s stuff. So our parents and our first cousins, my aunt and uncle, the Bernies, planned this trip. Maui was not in our wheelhouse. It was not an option. But two things happened. My parents found some cheap airfare to Maui, as did my cousins and aunt and uncle. There used to be these books called, I think, Entertainment Partners, right?
The coupon books?
The coupon book that students would sell and they'd get money for their school. And there was this coupon for the Kealani Resort in Maui, California, which is now a Fairmont Kealani. The same, like, year it opened. So it was new. So I'm sure it was a promotion. But it was half off the rooms. No limit.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of us. So they're like, half off. I mean, this is like staying at the Holodome.
I know, exactly.
It's like the Comfort Inn, but it's in Maui. And if we get good enough airfare, we're there. 10 days.
I know. I remember.
I think about this trip that I took when I was 16 with our cousins, probably as much as I do Africa and Europe and amazing places I've been, this was for us, I think, the most special thing. Because we've never really been anywhere tropical like that, lush, green.
Like luxury. I was excited at the Comfort Inn. I thought the Comfort Inn was a really nice place.
It was beautiful.
And then you go to the Kealani. They had an L-shaped couch.
What
I'll
is
never
that?
Forget it.
An first time.
L-shaped couch.
So hot. Everybody loves an L-shaped couch. It is the feng shui of everything. But to us, it was so new.
It was so wonderful.
So bright, so verdant and luxurious. It was green. But we got there, and since the rooms were cheap, me, my brother Frank, my cousin Dave, and my cousin Joe, who's my age, older cousin Dave, they're brothers, we got our own room. And we didn't, like, what do we do with this freedom?
What did you do? I don't know. I was like 12 at the time.
We
so
discovered
I was like
that they did have a very nice gift shop that sold booze.
Ooh.
And my cousin Dave looked old enough to get us Mai Tais all the time.
Oh, wow. You went with the Mai Tais, huh?
Was it?
Well, Mai Tais
glorious.
Are delicious. So good.
And they had Laserdisc players.
Yes, they did.
In the rooms.
Wow.
Not to date ourselves. So you can go rent like Laserdiscs. If you don't know out there and you're new to the Laserdisc game, they are giant CDs and they used to make movies and it'd take like 2 Laserdiscs. You flip it. It's great, but great quality, better than VHS at the time.
Better than DVDs.
I don't know.
Do you think?
It depends.
I don't know. I don't remember.
But it was, I remember when, like, Dazed and Confused and like drinking Mai Tais on the beach, 16 years old, and just soaking it all in. In my greatest memory from that vacation has to be my cousin Joe and I chatted up some young ladies.
Mm.
I was 16. He was 16 too.
Yeah.
And the girls were very much more into Joe, my cousin, who was, he always had like a nice figure, if you will. Swimmer's body.
Yeah.
Athletic.
All of them swim.
Traditionally handsome. I wasn't quite there, but I was the funny guy, which doesn't really get you any.
No, I can contest.
Hey, they all say, all the ladies say they want a sense of humor first. It's
true. It's not.
They want a sixer.
Yeah.
By sixer, I mean six pack.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Totally.
Like dark hair, right? Jawbones. Visible jawbones in conjunction with an Adam's apple. If your love handles flare out wider than your shoulders,
no.
Not going to do it. So point being, Joe, we chatted up. Joe struck gold, yeah. Right? Right?
Of course.
And I tried because they were sisters and we were cousins. It was a match made in heaven.
Totally.
And I think I had a chance.
But why didn't you take the chance?
Because of the low self-esteem issue.
Yeah.
I really did. I do regret this, right? That was a lesson for me. I was just too self-conscious to seal the deal. And we were, you know, hung out the whole week. It was fun. You know, I didn't need, like, to hook up with anybody. I never hooked, you know, even at that point, I don't think I ever hooked up with anybody. But,
wow, but I did walk
through the grounds by the hot tub one night. And guess who I saw?
Lady.
The lady. And guess who she was making out with?
Cousin Joe.
Cousin Joe.
Oh, God.
It almost ruined my whole trip. But I didn't let it because I was in paradise.
You know what? These are the character building things that us Maros have gone through.
Exactly. Made us who we are today, which are stars of television, film, if you count that extra job I did on Josh Hartnett's Wicker Park.
That is
look
true.
It up.
Yes,
I'm in the beginning season.
He is in the first like 2 minutes of it. It's hilarious.
It
he's clear as day walking down the streets of Michigan
I
Avenue.
Look like Sasquatch. I'm like
the tallest person there.
And three, podcast star.
What's that called? Like when you get the Tony and
the
you get
EGOT.
The Academy. Or the EGOT. So you were like the EGOT of life.
I'm so close though. I have been nominated for an Emmy.
Daytime Emmy.
Stop it. Is there a difference? I don't know.
Yes, there is a difference.
That statue is weighs the same.
Does it?
Listen, if I had an Emmy on my mantle, would you not be impressed? It's not like a local Emmy.
No.
Which there's nothing wrong with. A lot of people deserve local Emmys.
Yeah.
Great news features out there. Great people. Great talent. But listen, I'm not on primetime.
Hey, and you know what? I think there's an award out there for a podcast too.
Oh, what are those called?
We should start submitting those.
The Peties? The Potties?
Potties. Something like that.
The Potties.
Oh, that's
I love it. Okay, so those are probably my three top memorable vacations as a child. And now with the beauty of this career, I've afforded to go to some pretty cool places, mainly like literally like a year ago, we were in Africa, which was a bucket list trip for us where I could finally see these animals I've only read about books in person or seen on television.
Yeah, but I'm sure seeing it in person.
It was such an amazing trip, but that was probably the most memorable thing I experienced.
The kills.
It's not the visual of it, right? The visual you can kind of watch and you're enamored with the scenery in the moment that you just kind of realize it's nature. You know what nothing prepares you for?
What?
The sound.
Oh, like... Is it crunchy?
It's that again.
Oh.
Crunchy with...
Oh, gross. Oh,
it's
no.
It's the sound.
Oh,
that's how close you are.
How close are you?
15 feet, maybe.
Oh, wow.
In a car. But there was nothing closer than our first night on safari in South Africa. Pretty remote, far outside any like Kruger National Park. Nothing public about it. We did have like, it was mostly tent, but we did have like a sliding glass door that went out to our porch where we can overlook the Sabi Sand River. And we're sleeping at night, right? I'm already nervous. Our time's all crazy. Lorenzo gets up and he's like, I can't sleep. Can I sleep with you? And I'm like, oh, get in the bed. Right. And I hear something outside, right? Like a, and I'm like, what the hell is that? And so then I go and I look, just put my eyes up to this glass, right? The sliding glass door, one pane of glass.
Yeah.
And I see it.
What is it?
It's a leopard.
Holy crap.
A big ass leopard staring right at me.
Wow.
Now, listen, I've woken up before here in Cook County.
Yeah.
And I seen me a raccoon outside.
Oh, well. Who hasn't?
Exactly.
Exactly. Like raccoons at
very
night,
commonplace.
Squirrels during the day. Like, come on.
Yeah, I've exhausted my
backyard
raccoons.
Backyard creatures, in. Yeah.
They tend to give me a little startle, though, especially if I'm not behind glass.
Oh, really?
Nothing prepares you for seeing a big cat staring at you, eating your deck furniture, while you're sleepy-eyed midnight, first night in the bush. You don't know what the hell's going to happen. If he's going to start clawing at the tent and rip it open.
Oh.
He did not. I watched him. We're going to put this video on Instagram, but watch it. It was so magnificent. I have Lorenzo telling me how beautiful it is. I have Sarah yelling at me not to open the door.
What?
Oh. She's like, don't open the glass. Don't slide it open. I'm like, what do you want me? Am I going to ride it? Am I going to bring it into bed with us?
Hey, you know,
there's
maybe
weirder
she's
videos
into that.
Out there. But that was such an amazing trip. And I think about that every single day. I don't know. Like, for me, I saved up so long for this trip and I did it. And I'm glad I did it when I did it because now we can't do it.
Yeah. And it's done.
It's done.
And the memories and pictures live on forever.
Exactly. What about you? What is your most recent favorite trip?
I know I've spoken about this before, but I went to Costa Rica for a friend's birthday in February before all this
February.
February. But anyway, so it was like a group of like 12 of us all staying in a huge Airbnb, had our own pool, great food, beaches, body surfing, obviously. That's how I injured my shoulder. But it was just like fun party times and, you know, a lovely surf town, Jaco.
Yeah, Jaco Beach.
And they have the native dish there, the quesada. You went to Costa Rica too.
I have that. Is that, I mean.
Which is, it's so simple. It's like you pick a meat or a protein and then you have lettuce and beans and rice. Simple, right? So fresh, so delicious. I ate fish the entire time I was there. It was just, it was amazing, beautiful, glorious, fun trip.
It's such a beautiful country with great people.
It really is.
I mean, flora and fauna there, unbelievable. I loved Costa Rica.
I'd go back in a heartbeat.
Great food too. And that lettuce is key on that platter too.
I know. It's so, I don't know why. It's like I'd scarf that shit down and I'm like, this is all simple ingredients, but it was just so damn tasty.
But we are Mexophiles. Wouldn't you say the Morrow family? We've been to Mexico a lot and we just love the Mexican culture and especially the Mexican food. So I think pound for pound, there's nowhere I love to go and eat more than Mexico.
Yeah.
Especially, I'm not saying like high end, like the street food. Al pastor, after you eat dinner.
Oh,
that's when you go get some tacos.
Yeah, you just, you know, risk it out on the streets. You know,
I love it.
Some people freak out about street food in Mexico, maybe more so now. But like, I don't know. I've always had like a real tough stomach. Like I've never gotten sick in Mexico.
You better knock on some wood. There's a guitar right there. Just knock on that. That is definitely made of wood. If you can go anywhere, what's your number one bucket list trip?
I need to go to Italy. I need to go back to the
homeland.
Yes. I want to go all over there, but I don't want to do it now on like a budget. It's something I want to do and I want to do it right. I want to stay in nice places. I want to see everything I want to see. So yeah, that would be a good way for you to pay me for my services for this podcast.
Hey. You'll get paid when we make money.
Wait, okay.
We're almost there. I feel it. Don't you feel it?
I know.
I don't want to make money. I just want to entertain people, but I do want to like be able to like pay you.
Yeah, I would like to be
but
paid.
I'm not going to ask people to do like a PayPal thing.
No.
That's where I draw the damn line.
Yeah, no, we won't do that.
I'll give you my own PayPal, which is my advice.
Thanks, brother.
And my knowledge as an older sibling.
Thank you. So what's number one on your bucket list?
I would say Australia. Bird nerd extraordinaire. I want to be amongst
the birds.
Wild cockatoos. Like
them perched on your shoulders.
Yes.
Is that because we grew up with a bird?
Yeah, we did. Pee-wee. Cock-teal. And Connie. Cockatiel. Oh. But cockatiels were like parrot light.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like when you don't want to, you know, you don't want the 60-year commitment,
no, exactly.
Right?
Just an 18-year commitment.
18-year, oh, God, I miss that bird.
That bird was a great bird, and we thought he died a lot sooner than he actually died because our father would make wine in the basement of our home, and it was like, we're talking like 6 30-gallon barrels of homemade hooch a year, and so when it was fermenting in the basement, and we would be employed as children to go down there and stir it every day with these big, long paddles. I mean, who does this anymore? I don't know. It's probably illegal in most counties, but we got a kick out of it, and it yielded a really terrible wine that we would bring to college, right? And we were kind of popular for being like a case of homemade wine that would get people ham-boned.
Ham-boned. I used to bring it to high school parties.
Oh, there
you go. I'm like, they won't notice. Grab two bottles, and then I'd go to like the party and be like, excuse me, do you guys have a wine glass? And they're like, who the hell is this girl? I'm like, I don't like to drink out of a plastic cup.
It's called Taylor Street Vineyards.
Oh,
for those that know, Taylor Street is the Little Italy of Chicago, where my dad's from, our family live, and everybody who made the wine there. But the fumes were so intense that I remember one day we came home and Pee-wee, our gray cockatiel, was on the bottom of the cage. And we thought he finally died. Oh my God, Pee-wee's dead. Pee-wee's dead. What are we going to do? And guess what? He wasn't dead. He was propofol'd via homemade wine.
Propofol'd?
Yeah. It's the stuff Michael Jackson used to put himself to sleep who have major surgeries. We did that to Pee-wee, that poor bird. But man, he bounced back. I think he lived probably another 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And the lesson learned is,
yes,
it's illegal to make wine in your home.
It's illegal if you don't sell it. That's the thing. He would just give it away to people. He didn't sell it.
I guess you're right. People make limoncello at home a lot.
I don't know how, you know, giving it to teenagers, how that works.
Listen, I don't think Gus gave it to us, but we encouraged to drink it and try it around the dinner table. That's why we don't care that much about booze now.
Yeah. booze is just, you know, in the background.
It's fun.
It is fun.
I think it's time, Emily.
Yes.
For a little segment we like to call Just the Tips. Just the tips, it's the tips, it's the what you wish for. Just the tips, it's the tips, it's a special dish for. Just the tips, just the tips, just the tips, just the tips. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that one.
I know. I really like the Just the Tips from last week. I woke up with that one in my mind.
Which, how did that one go again?
Just the tips.
Okay. It's
not what you expect.
Another earworm for you, right? That's
all
the goal.
All week long in my dome.
What is Just the Tip right now? This is my number one tip for traveling again. When we can go back to traveling, even if you have to go somewhere for work, I always consult eater.com and the specific city eater.coms, right? Whether it's Eater Chicago, Eater LA, Eater New York, Eater Minneapolis, wherever, to find out, like, somewhere you got one night, you don't know where to go, and you want to go to two places, and you find what is either in the Eater heat map in that city or the Eater 38 essentials in that city, and you can't go wrong usually. Rather than Yelp.com.
Okay.
Which is the enemy.
That's good to know.
It's the enemy of restaurants.
Oh, yeah.
All right, that's the tip. Tip. It's not a cooking tip, but it's an eating tip.
Yeah, which is just like cooking for your brain.
It is. It's cooking for your mouth.
Yes.
I mean, it's traveling for your mouth.
And cooking for your face.
Your face. That is why we travel, though. Let's be honest, right? I mean, I love beaches, but I don't need the all-inclusive breakfast. I don't care about the breakfast. Once in a while, I have the breakfast.
I don't know.
The lunch you can eat by the pool. You get some chips. You get a little salad or something, man. But it's like I bank those points for dinner, and I want to get dolled up.
Yeah.
Put on a nice little button-down, a flowy button-down.
White linen pants.
Boom. With the drawstrings.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
Extra colognes.
Wow.
Because of the sea breeze. Knocks it off quicker.
I did not know that.
Hinders the scent.
Learning all the tips.
Of my Sauvage.
Your Sauvage.
That's Johnny Depp's cologne. Who buys Sauvage? Have you ever... Shut up, Mike. Where's Sauvage? Yes! Yes!
Oh,
this is, if you edit this out,
I'm
I'll be so mad.
I'm cutting this out.
So you have a visceral reaction to Sauvage, which I just witnessed. Not even just by name. Can you imagine Emily's response when she smells Johnny Depp's Sauvage on the neck of her new man? Just melting in his lap. Sauvage. Because I watch, first of all,
sweating.
I'm a magazine fanatic. I love magazines. And I, you know, subscribe to GQ, Esquire, all these magazines. And there are, without fail, always a Sauvage ad. Now, I'm not knocking the scent of it. I can't even.
It's a nice scent. It's light. It's not overbearing.
It's beautiful. It's
totally
a perfect scent.
I didn't know it was Johnny Depp.
But Johnny Depp goes, he's like, Sauvage. And I'm like, who's paying Johnny Depp the tens of millions of dollars to hawk Sauvage? Because I don't know anybody that wears Sauvage. Like, what's the return of investment on Johnny Depp as your Sauvage spokesperson? Boom, proof in the pudding, Mike wears Sauvage. Does he wear it at work, though?
I doubt it.
That's a big kitchen no-no.
So.
You know that.
No, I'm pretty sure he does.
I hope he does. I hope he's not Sauvaging while on duty.
I know. I don't think so. Fingers crossed.
I am so happy
to
learn this information. I am Sauvage. I am obsessed now with this information.
Okay, great.
Next time I see him, I am going to nuzzle in his neck. Is nuzzle a word or is it nestle? I'm going to nestle in his neck.
Nuzzle.
But I'm going to nuzzle in his nuts and see what's it doing with the Sauvage, whether he does full body spraying.
No.
Is it full body spraying? He doesn't like, does Sauvage come in like a aerosol can or is it just a...
No, it's like a square black.
Next time you talk to him, I need an update. I think everybody deserves an update on this. I know we veered off course from traveling, but I think everybody needs to know, like, what sold him on Sauvage? Was it Johnny Depp or was it a sampler?
I will ask. I will ask and I'll get back to you.
And where does he buy it?
I don't know. He's like almost out.
Oh, I mean, I'd reckon you can probably get Sauvage at Walgreens or Osco's.
Really?
Maybe. Yeah. Or probably a department store.
I don't know.
But is Sauvage sold at...
I don't know. I'm Googling. Let's stop talking about Sauvage.
Sauvage for men.
I don't know. I think it's time for Frank's take.
I think so. I think it's over.
Another one from my bro. Another one from my bro. Another one from my bro. FRANKMAURO. Another one from my bro. Another one from my bro. FRANKMAURO.
Tell us about your number one fan. Do you bring it with you when you travel, your fan?
Yes. Oh, my God. You have to. I mean, you know. I don't know if it's a Morrow thing. I think it all started at the Jersey Shore.
We just talked about that.
No, you didn't.
Well, we didn't talk about the family. We talked about the shore.
Yes. Oh, my. Okay. So we would spend like $800 and you'd win like tickets, right? And then I remember I won that little mini fan.
Playing what?
It was like the little kids casino. But getting back to the number one fan, I won that. It was like 10,000 tickets, and it was like that tiny little fan, which came to me from Jersey Shore to college, I believe.
That was probably the greatest return of investment ever in any arcade ticket redemption of all time.
Can I ask you something?
Please.
Like, don't you kind of want to breathe?
Yeah, but I mean, my breathing is pretty automatic to the human system.
No, a breeze.
Oh, no. See, that's where we differ.
I'm like a chameleon. I can fit into any type of fan situation I want.
As long as there's movement of air, you're comfortable.
You know, when you think about it, it's like an angel blowing on you.
That is so romantic. So the theme of this episode, it's a travel episode.
Yes.
But if you could go anywhere in the world, where would you go?
It's got to be. Can I talk through the answer? Because it's like, it's hard just to spit that one out in 30 seconds. You know, it's got to be somewhere, you know, not so warm enough to be in the pool, a resort where things could be done for me. So no work, low maintenance, low heat. Man, I have no clue. That's a tough one.
Just say Mexico.
I mean, Mexico is my favorite, but I'm just like, if I can go anywhere, I just would go there because I'm comfortable with it.
But you love Mexico because you could speak the language. A lot of people don't know that about you. Hundreds of thousands of fans of this podcast don't know that you speak fluent Spanish.
I like to call it conversational proficient in Espanol.
Tell us how much you love traveling to Mexico in Spanish.
Oh,
I want to hear
it. I don't want to do that in Spanish, for reals.
All right.
So, el año pasado, ¿no? Yeah. Yo visitamos con mi familia y yo. Fuimos a Cancún. Para festir, para tomar, para descansar, y toda la familia estaba allá. Y cada noche cantamos mucho con mi hermana y mi hermano, pero no puedo cantar muy bien como ellos. Ellos pueden cantar y toda la gente siempre está diciendo, oh, tu hermano, tu hermana pueden cantar muy bien, tan bonitos. Oh, how was that?
Oh, my God. I just knew. You know what? What I love about these is that I just asked you the question. It usually takes you about 17 seconds to ramp up, but you always deliver. I need to know what the most romantic, sexiest trip you've ever taken with your wife, Kelly, was.
Oh, secrets. Boom.
Secret.
It really was a secret. It must have been 4 stars. It felt like I was in a 5-star place. The service was unbelievable. They had a channel that had late night TV for free if you wanted it. Not that we watch it. You stumble on these things accidentally when you're scanning, of course. Oh, all inclusive, top shelf, right? So Don Julio tequila all the time. You meet people. There's no kids. It's a break from the kids, which, you know, we need now and then. But you feel sick 5 days later because you drink so much like an idiot.
Did you lay it down there or what?
Did I lay what?
Did you stop on the channel?
Yeah. Oh, you know, I don't remember. I don't recall.
All right, Frank. Thank you. I think that was by far the greatest Frank steak we have had so far. He more than made up for his absence last week.
Oh, agreed. Agreed. That was stellar. You'd like spoke another language for 3 minutes about.
He talked about romance.
And apparently softcore porn. I don't know. Potentially.
I don't know. Might have been harder than that.
What was
it was harder. It's a secret. It's adult only.
I don't know.
I remember when they came back and they were glowing.
They had the time of their life.
And we were always like, every time we walked by them, we'd be like, secrets. Would you guys do this with secrets? Well, that's good. That's a perspective. And I loved how he brought up Jersey Shore, right? It's in us. We didn't prompt him. We don't ever prompt him.
Oh, no. We give him zero information. He actually has requested that I give him the questions prior. And I say, no.
No.
We want you off the cuff. We want you free flowing. We want it just to come right off the tip of the tongue, from the brain to the tongue.
I love it.
To you folks. So,
that's what we love about Frank.
Yeah,
God
Frank's
bless
the
him.
Best. And now it is time for some listener emails.
Okay, what do we got?
We've had a bunch of people that have been sending questions or comments.
Seriously,
to ask
how
Jeff.
Many are we at, though? How many sent?
We have probably about like 14.
Seriously?
Yeah.
But it's growing.
It was growing. Yeah.
It was the first one finally did AskJeff@comeonover.com, which is where you send the emails to. I got that down.
Yes,
AskJeff.
Yes. AskJeff@comeonover.com.
We had a couple, but now we got 14, kids.
Yeah, they're
eat
coming,
that, Joe
through.
Rogan.
I was like, yeah, exactly, Joe Rogan. So this guy named Rob Bennett says, "Hey, man, really love the new pod. I got a huge kick out of your dad podcast, and it actually gave me the courage to go ahead and plunge into fatherhood. My wife and I are expecting our first this December, and yes, before you ask, it's a corona baby. As we got locked in the house together and we said, you know what? Let's do it, baby. Anyway, I would get a huge kick out of some more dad-centric episodes of this podcast, especially now that I have one on the way." I just found that very entertaining for obvious reasons.
I think that is, and I'm sure he had this baby without a free softcore porn channel streaming.
Yeah. Dude, he doesn't need that.
Well, thank you. That was my previous podcast before this. It was a couple of years ago called Dad Vice. But I think this just inspired us for our next topic next week. Why don't we do fatherhood?
Yeah.
And what do I think of it? It's been a while, and I've learned a lot in the last couple of years, I think.
Yeah. So essentially, I'll just, prompt you with questions.
Should we have Gus on?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know the technology. I don't know. Let's table this.
All right. We'll table it. Thank you. I'm glad I inspired you to have children. That's all I want to do.
Like, what?
Is
more
make people make babies
during a international pandemic.
Amen to the corona babies out there.
And then we have one from Shayna Serpy.
Ooh.
She says, "Loving the podcast and the sibling love, which is why I got to ask, has Emily gotten her meat thermometer and nonstick pan?"
A great question. Is this one of your friends?
It might be.
Son of a bitch. What's this person's name?
Shayna.
Shayna. So you already, Shayna. You drink with Shayna.
No, you haven't.
But okay, we'll do it. Listen, I got you a mic.
Because she asked me when I saw her the other day. She's like, "Hey, did your brother ever get you that meat thermometer nonstick pan?" I'm like, you know what? Send it through the channel.
All right. I love
I'll
that.
Say it.
All right. Nonstick pan. How about this? I'm going to send you home with a brand new, very high-end cast iron skillet.
Oh,
is that
good?
It weighs like 100 pounds. I don't have the meat thermometer. No, I got something for you.
Okay, cool.
All right, I'll get you.
I like to leave with things.
Yeah.
You know?
Amen. That's why my mom only comes over. She
always
wants something. All right, next question. We got a hot date tonight.
I know. So Kelly Weedman says, "Love the pod. You guys have such great banter back and forth. It's almost in a way that complements each other." Almost.
I'll take it.
Better
than
I'll
never.
Take all the compliments. Anyway, I want to know each of your takes on this. Mine too. Emily's take, who is not the food expert, just saying. And she asks, "In making pasta, how much pasta should I be making for a family of three? Me, hubby, and a five-year-old. Do I make the whole box? Do I make half? I feel like when I get the portions correct, it's like winning the lottery. Any help is appreciated. Thanks, and keep up the great work."
Are you answering this?
I don't know.
It was to you?
She said she wants both our takes on it.
All right.
And I don't make pasta that often, but I'd say for two adults, let me take my stab at this. For two adults and a child.
Not even looking at you.
I say a little bit more than half a box.
Okay. I would say you're correct. Depends on the size of the box. But you're like, I think a cup for two people, like an adult and a child. Sarah's really not a pasta eater, but we'll eat it. You know, I don't eat a ton anymore. Lorenzo eats about probably the same I do. A cup for two people. I think that's the safest.
Yeah.
That's good. It's not magic. It really isn't. If it's spaghetti, right, a cup is, about a handful. Like, if you make an okay with your fingers from the tip to the thumb, like the okay signal, and you fit all that pasta tight in there, That's about a cup of spaghetti or bucatini or fettuccine.
That is a
long pasta.
Tip.
Anything else you're going to have to measure if it's a rigatoni or a mostaccioli or a fusilli or, you know, anything like that. But listen, it's always best to overshoot a little more. I have a little leftovers, and leftover pasta is pretty much garbage in my opinion. But mark that down. We're going to do leftovers, a leftover episode, because I have theory on leftovers and how to properly, you know how I reheat everything.
One more question.
All right.
Guess who it's from? Remember last week? April C?
Yeah, April C. She you messed up her name.
Well, I said her last name.
Yeah, her last.
She sent another one, and she put out her whole name, April Cregan.
She's ready. Cregan. She's ready, April Cregan. We salute you.
I know. This is really exciting.
Speak your name.
I yelped in glee when I saw her name come through the email inbox. But she just asks, how do you make good iced coffee? I've tried so many times, but it usually comes out very watery.
Ooh, well, okay. It depends what kind of coffee maker you have. If you have like a standard, you know, old school Mr. Coffee that makes the carafe, and you know you're not going to drink all it, as soon as it's fresh brewed, pour whatever you might want to ice later into a separate vessel and put it in the fridge immediately. So it's not sitting on that hot plate boiling, you know, not boiling, but like... burning, you know, even though it's not movement, you don't see bubbles or simmering, it's still cooking the coffee slow and burning the coffee, right? So do it instantly. And even if you're not, you might as well, right? Because you can always pour yourself a couple, keep yourself obviously, or if your loved one or your family, whatever's drinking coffee as well. If you don't get through the whole pot and you already know it, you might as well save some of it. You know what I mean? You're brewing a whole pot, and the ratios are always best when you brew a whole pot. If you invest in one of these machines that pour an iced coffee, I'm not experienced with those, but there's no reason if you have an espresso machine or a Keurig or a Nespresso, I brew it first, put it aside, let it sit maybe for a minute, and then pour it over ice rather than brewing directly on the ice.
That's when
you get the watery
That's
issue.
That's what I found too, because I do the pour overs at home because, you know, I'm a slight hipster who lives in Logan Square.
Yeah, she's wearing a red handkerchief.
I took an Uber here in the mask. It was my, anyway. Jesus Christ, Jeff. Anyway, I find that the pour over, because that doesn't stay, get hot, just put that in the leftover in the fridge. Then when it's cold, throw in a few cubes, throw in some oat milk because you know I'm a hipster. Stevia.
Well, you're not a total hipster.
I'm not.
You're not too.
But
you're
I live
hybrid.
In a hipsterish neighborhood.
Sarah loves the oat milk. She loves the almond milk. I'm a black guy.
Oh, jeez.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I love black coffee more than anything, but I do love half and half. Just real half and half. I do heavy cream if it was in the...
Yeah.
Ooh, well, talk about viscosity.
Ooh. I don't know. Dana uses that because of the ketos.
She's a keto nut who probably goes through more heavy whipping cream than most humans.
Yeah, exactly.
It's working for her, though.
For her.
We salute you, Dana. We miss you. We love you.
Yeah.
We'll see you later. Any other questions?
No, we did have other questions, but I think we're running out of time.
We are definitely running out of time, but I want to thank all those people that took the time to go over to AskJeff@comeonover.com and send us your questions, which we will answer no matter what they are. I am Jeff Morrow.
I am Emily Morrow.
And we thank you for coming on over. Now, get the hell out.
Thank you for coming on over.
Podcast is powered by Gameplan, executive produced by Steve Mandel, and coordinated by Liz Landry. And it's produced, edited, and engineered by me, Emily Morrow. Thank you for listening, and can't wait for you guys to come on over the next time.